What have your travels taught you? Hi, I'm Rick Steves. I'll be talking with two very inspiring travelers in the hour ahead. Their stories might make you consider rearranging your priorities, changing your lifestyle, or even planting some garlic. Ference Mate has wrestled with what's really important, and he's written about it in a bestseller called A Reasonable Life. He updates this outlook for surviving the modern age in his latest book. It's called A Real Life. He'll join us in just a bit to advocate for rediscovering the basics of the good life, you know, reconnecting with the people around us. And Dan Austin recounts how he, his brother, and his best friend traveled rough and ready by bike all across the USA on $10 a day. He brings us tips for discovering for yourself the rewards of traveling close to the ground. Let's start today's show by checking in with listeners who share tales of adapting to German culture. Tell us what your travels have taught you at 877-333-7425. Or by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Jennifer's on the line in Portland, Oregon. Jennifer, thanks for your call.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Do you have some stories about struggling to be smooth and together in Germany?
Yes. My husband and I decided to stop by this gorgeous bakery, beautiful pastries and whatnot. My husband went to order one, and he said, I would like one of those, and he used his index finger indicating number one. And the woman behind the counter looked completely offended, and her face was just mortifying. We couldn't understand as to what had happened, but we asked again, and she responded, oh, you like one, but she used her thumb. So later on our adventure in Germany, we were talking with this couple, and we're like, we don't understand what happened. And in essence, doing the number one with the index finger is equal to the American version of flipping someone off with the bird in the middle finger. So,
oh, no. So, so next time, I suppose you should use your middle finger when ordering one.
Or the thumb.
That's better. Hey, you know, that reminds me of a related faux pas. When I was a kid, I remember I was traveling with my parents, and we were in Germany, and we ordered a schnitzel or something holding up one finger, our index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And Germans just assume that's two because you always start counting with your thumb. Thumb would be one. Thumb and index finger is two. So if you held up your index finger, they're likely to think you mean you want two of something.
Clever.
So you could actually insult them and get double of what you wanted at the same time.
Yes. We could have two pastries instead of one.
Two pastries thrown at your face. Well, Jennifer, you learned and you've shared it. So no more flipping people off innocently in Germany, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thanks for your story. Donna's on the phone in Dallas. Hi, Donna.
Oh, thank you for speaking to me, Rick.
Yeah. Do you have a lesson you've learned overseas?
When I was in college, my roommate and I went to Salzburg for a semester, and we were trying to speak German, and we went to a big beer hall where we were supposed to meet some friends, and we were walking around. When everyone talked to us, we kept saying, wir suchen ein Freund, wir suchen ein Freund, which we thought meant we're looking for our friend, and we were actually saying we're looking for a friend. So everyone kept saying, we'll be your friend, we'll be your friend.
You know, that's a pretty good line if you don't know much German. I'm looking for a friend.
We were brand new over there at the time.
So did he get a friend?
I'm sure we could have gotten some eventually.
And you found your friend eventually?
Yeah.
And how was the rest of your trip?
Oh, it was wonderful. We had another incident where we were chased by police. We thought it was just a car coming towards us with lights shining and men yelling. And they chased us towards the house we were living in. And when we jumped over the fence and got inside, we found out that we had been walking across the construction site for the new opera hall, and they thought we were stealing building material.
Oh, no. And the police chased you all the way back to your house?
Yes.
You thought these were dangerous people chasing you?
We thought so. We didn't know what they were doing chasing us.
Well, you could have just said, wir suchen ein Freund.
We could have.
All right. Hey, well, you survived your faux pas, and I think you had a good trip to boot, so that's great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and right now we're screwing up together in Germany, and it's kind of fun. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. You can email us anytime at radio@ricksteves.com. Mary in St. Louis emails us, and she tells a story of an education she got on her German trip. Mary writes, my modest sister visited a German spa with some friends. She was embarrassed to see people of all ages and body types walking around naked. and was intimidated when she realized she was expected to leave her bathing suit behind when using the spa facilities. She was mortified when the attendant, a cranky, wrinkled lady with no teeth, ran after her screaming, "Trocken! Trocken!" Her knowledge of German language was limited, and she had no idea why she was being singled out, naked in front of God and everyone. Turns out it is mandatory to shower before entering the spa, and she was trocken, that means dry, much to the disdain of the snarling attendant. Boy, if you want to feel awkward, if you're not used to running around naked with a bunch of people who are very good at relaxing, with attendants who are very good at keeping everybody in line, go to a spa sometime in Germany. Jeff's on the line in Easton, Maryland. Jeff, thanks for your call.
I had called to talk about my son, who had been in Germany during the summer of his junior year in high school. It's part of an exchange program. He was with his host family on the 4th of July, and his host mother made a sandwich and some picnic items for he and some of his friends to take to a local park. During the day, he ate some of the sandwich but didn't finish everything, and when he came home that evening, he disposed of it, thinking that it probably had spoiled. Later on, his host's mother took him aside and said she'd retrieved what was left of the sandwich and that they never threw anything away because they'd learned during and just after the war how important food was and that they would have starved had it not been for the American soldiers and the relief programs. And ever since, they've been extremely frugal with the use of food and resources. So given this lesson that he learned both about history and culture, he later had the opportunity to come back during his junior year in college and study at a German university. Reconnected with them, and they demonstrated through their generosity that that faux pas had not only not created a problem in their relationship, but it actually strengthened the relationship between them. And they subsequently loaned him a bicycle, which when stolen, they loaned him another. He subsequently spent his vacation times with them during that year, learning, I think, some valuable lessons about German culture and the experience of Germans that had gone through the war and the aftermath of the war.
Boy, you know, that's a very good testimony to the value of foreign study programs, isn't it?
It really is.
It's more than just picking up some history or some language skills. They learn who we are and we learn who they are. And in the case of an American in Germany, we get a little sense of what it must have been like for those people to live through that war and the hunger of the cold winters when they were depending on allies to keep them out of starvation.
Yes, his host family, we subsequently had a chance to spend some time with them on several occasions, and it's really amazing how appreciative and sensitive they were to the American soldiers and the relief program after the war, and it was really a very valuable lesson for my son to learn.
You know, this just reminds me so much of my friend Herr Jung, who is a friend of mine on the Rhine River. I just pulled this out of a journal that I had written, but he's referring to the same years that you're talking about in Germany after the war. He writes, "The years after the war were hungry years." He said, "I would wake in the middle of the night and search the cupboards. There was no fat, no bread, no nothing. I licked spilled grain from the cupboard. We had friends from New York, and they sent coffee, which we would trade with farmers for grain. For this, I have always been thankful. Now when I think of what the Nazis did to Germany, I remember a fine soup cooked by 30 people can be spoiled by one man with a handful of salt." So he has this notion that the Americans were the compassionate ones and sent
right.
him these care packages that got him through those difficult times.
Yeah, the friends that we have in Germany, I think, feel exactly the same way. And as you say, it's hard for us to imagine that kind of deprivation and suffering.
Well, that's great that your son has that as a lasting souvenir and lesson from his time over there. Jeff, thanks for your call.
All right, Rick. Good talking with you.
You too. One of the words a lot of Americans know in German is Dummkopf, dumbhead. And a lot of times when I'm traveling, I feel like a dumbhead because I'm in Germany. I don't speak the language, and Germans know what they're doing, and I don't get it right. And it's okay. That's the fun thing about travel. We're all beginners over there. It's like we're in kindergarten, and we're learning new tricks. You know, the good news is we're all in the same traveler's school of hard knocks, and it's okay to compare notes. That's what we're doing today. We're comparing notes. We're comparing faux pas. You can call us anytime at 877-333-7425, or you can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. And Rick is on the line in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
What have you learned from your mistakes in understanding the cultures and so on?
my wife and I were traveling in Germany about a year ago, and we were jumping from train to train, and at one point we felt very lucky we could get on the first car. We noticed a little sign that was in the window, and I don't remember the exact word, but like Rorschach or something, or Rauch something, which means smoke. So my poor German understanding at the time, I thought it meant no smoking. So we got on the car, and nobody else was smoking, and I don't smoke, and my wife didn't. And I thought nothing of it until the conductor came by and checked all the tickets, and turns out we were on the wrong car.
How can
that
be?
We had to take our luggage off and get back onto another car further down the train.
Well, the sign said no smoking. Why did that matter about the destination?
It turns out it didn't really say don't smoke. It was the name of the city that particular car was going to go. What we didn't understand, like in the U.S., trains go from city to city.
Okay.
But in Europe, cars go from city to city, and they'll split a train up in the middle.
Okay.
And one car will go to one city, and one will go to another.
That's a very important tip, Rick. I've noticed that in my own experience. You can be on a train that's just jam-packed, and you can walk through six or seven cars looking for a place to sit, and all of a sudden there's an empty car, and you go, oh, man, this is too good to be true. And you sit down in that car, and you've got to realize this car is likely going someplace else where nobody wants to go, and it'll break off at the next stop, and you could be heading on your way to no smoking.
Yes, and...
So there's a town that's... Nichtrauchen would be the German word for no smoking.
Well, I know that now.
Yeah, so there's somewhere in Germany there's a town that looks a lot like that, huh?
Yes, there is.
Another point of confusion for travelers in Germany is Ausfahrt. Ausfahrt is the German word for exit.
Yes.
And you know that from driving in Germany, and a lot of people joke that all exits lead to a little town called Ausfahrt.
That's right.
But that's not the case at all. All right. Hey, well, thanks for your lesson.
You're very welcome.
All right. Happy travels.
Bye.
If I like that you're here, then I like that you're here. Happy New Year, my dear. So what? For the sun will rise and the moon will set, and you learn all to settle for what you get. It'll all go on if we're here or not. So who cares, so what? So who cares, so what?
Ference Mate tells us how to fix your overstressed life using your own two hands. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.